spring is finally here, a time when the flowers are growing and the grass is turning green, the trees begin to bloom, and once again gone are those subarctic temperatures that come rushing down from us from the north, bringing with it snow and ice and those frigid cold winds. Goodbye winter, amen? Amen. Boy, springtime is the way to go. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13 in the book, and we'll probably be starting around verse 6. So Luke 13, 6. And as you're turning there in your Bibles, let us worship the Word this morning by giving a big shout as our testimony. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. One more time. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Even if you have to cough, hack, and sneeze and wheeze, still praise the Lord that you're still alive to do that. Because the alternative is not so good. Well, speaking about seasons, let me ask you something. Are you in a difficult season now that you're going through in life? I mean, at one period, I had a period of years where I felt like God kind of seemed far off. And the outlook was partly cloudy to fair skies. I don't know. It was kind of cloudy. And I kept waiting for him just to kind of pluck me out of the darkness. You okay, Bob? I kept waiting for him to pluck me out of the darkness that I was at and set me down somewhere where things would be all better and maybe things that would be happier and I could be able to feel God better in my life. I don't know, maybe you can relate for the same thing. But, you know, if you think about it, we kind of know better, right? I mean, we can talk ourselves a lot of times into thinking that we'll be able to find God going through those dark times. And maybe if we go somewhere else, we can maybe experience God better and maybe find what He's trying to tell us. And we'll be able to hear Him. And maybe when our circumstances are changed around us from rather the place I've been in, maybe things will be better. Maybe I can be fed better to where I can understand God better. And we start thinking about those things when we go through those times in our life when God seems distant. We want to try to blame it on the church or circumstances or environment that we're in. You know, my family has been at this church for 29 years right now. And we've seen a lot of people, good people, really good people, spiritual people, come to worship at our church, stay a while, and then they'll leave. And kind of scratch your head saying, why, did we do something? Is it our breath? It just makes you wonder. I mean, but when we begin to focus on just the circumstances around us, thinking things will be better perhaps maybe somewhere else, but yet still we continue to stumble around in the dark when we do that. And it saddens me really in my spirit that I've seen many a people leave prayer of faith with the intentions on finding a new church or to find some good spiritual meat somewhere else, but, you know, yet they're still homeless. They're homeless without a church. They haven't planted themselves in a church, and so when they do that, they become very vulnerable to the enemy that's always lurking about trying to rip you apart spiritually. And just to try to drag you down. Now, not all of the people that have left here are homeless. There have been some who have transplanted themselves into new church families, and they're growing, and they're thriving, and they're blooming, and so they are doing good. But not all. And that's what worries me many times. Several centuries ago, in a certain mountain village in Europe, a nobleman was one wondering how he could leave his legacy to his townspeople. And so he thought about it, and he prayed about it, and he said, I think I'll decide to build him a church. But when he did, no one saw the church plans of what it would look like, or they didn't see how the church was going to be built until the actual church was finished. And once the church was completed, the people came and they gathered around the church and they were marveling at the beauty of the church and the magnificence of that church and how it portrayed such a prominent place in the community. And then someone brought up the question. They said, well, where are the lamps? I mean, when we come into the church, how are we going to light this place up when we come in? And so the nobleman, what he did is he said he pointed at some brackets around the church walls and around the sanctuary. And he told them, he said, each time that you're here, the area in which you're seated, it'll be lighted. He said, but likewise, when you're not here, then that area will be dark. And he said, this is to remind you that whenever you fail to come to church, that part or some part of God's house will be dark. And that still holds true today. I mean, yes, we have lights on the ceiling, but when you're not in church, we miss you. We really do. And it does seem a bit darker when you're gone, even if you're the silent type. Because your presence, you are a creation of the Lord God Almighty, His masterpiece, according to Ephesians, created for good works. And so even though you may be a quiet person, may not say much, you are still noticed because you are a masterpiece. And so many times as believers in Christ, when we begin to focus on our circumstances, we can just become misguided sometimes. And even though we try to seek for a better place in our mind to find somewhere, but all the while God is patiently waiting and inviting you and I to find Him right where we are. And so that we can be able to bloom and have all that He has in store for us to give to us. My message today is a phrase you've heard many times. It's called bloom where you're planted. And it's found in Luke chapter 13. But before we go there, let's open up in prayer. Please bow with me. Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of Your goodness and mercy today. And we invite You that Your presence would dwell among us today here as we're gathered to worship You by the power of Your Holy Spirit. And Father, we come today as a church to declare that we love You. And thank You that You've made the way of love for us to experience and to delight in that through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray today that You would reveal Your great love to us, that You have to us, all of us today, as we gather to worship You in the Word. And we ask that our hearts would be able to overflow with thanksgiving, and that our mouths can proclaim Your everlasting goodness in our lives. It's in Your wonderful name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Well, let's go to Luke chapter 13, because there's a word from the Lord here today for us, and I believe if you'll open up your spirit for some instruction, then God can bless you today. I'll begin reading with verse 6. He also spoke this parable, that a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, and he found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, listen to these words, "Let it alone, sir, this year." In other words, give me one more year. Give me one more year. Let it alone this year. And also notice two things in our passage this morning. So I can dig around it and put fertilizer, or perhaps your Bible may say dung. I like that word better. How many of y'all know what dung is? For you young people that are here that don't know what dung is, it usually follows the word bull or chicken. I mean, this is in the Bible. I'm preaching the Bible, and he said that I'm going to do two things. He says, I'm going to dig it, and I'm going to dung it. And for 3 years, if this tree has not produced, if it's been in the same rut for 3 years now, the owner has planted the tree in some soil, and he knew what it would need to produce greatness to bear some fruit. And he knew what it would need to get that fruit to pop out of those limbs. And he wanted to get fruit out of those limbs because it was just a tree with twigs on it. And he said, you don't choose the soil, the pain, the problems, the difficulties, the challenges, the thing. Those are the things sometimes that God plants you and I in. But if he planted you in that particular type of soil, it's only because he knows that he knows what it's going to require in order for you to be able to grow. Not an easy life all the time, not all beaches and beautiful sand. It may require some pain at times, and there may be some problems that you'll experience in that soil that you're planted in. To produce greatness, God wants to rise up out of that, and it's not the soil that's in the problem. He wants you to rise up out of that, because if you notice in our scripture, all the other trees around were fruitful. They were bearing fruit except for that one. And it was the response of that tree to the soil that it was planted in. Pain and the problems and things in our life, those things can't stop us unless we get in a rut and we just continue in a change thinking that it's going to be fine. And the thing that got me about this story in our passage today is that God kept coming, which God is the owner in the story, and the tree is you and I, and the tree, instead of producing in the soil that God planted in, because he comes and checks back. He checks on us. And when he plants you and I, and he allows you and I to go through some pain and through some problems and circumstances of an adversity, he'll back off, see how you're going to handle it. And in this story, he comes back annually, and he came back at the first of the year, and he comes back, and he's not expecting whining. He's not expecting complaining. He's not expecting to see a dried up tree that has become puny and weaker and barely hanging on to the faith with just those roots being alive, and there's no fruit in the spirit, there's just dead twigs of dry religion. I'm not expecting that. He's expecting for you and me to be able to blossom where he planted us, to prosper where he has planted you and I. And the thing about this story that's interesting is that it's been 3 years and he keeps coming back, and yet there's still some of us today who maybe have an unfruitful marriage. Last year, the year before that, it's just not any better. Maybe that could be your family tree. Maybe you've just got a curse running in that we need to pray for and anoint you and to just rid that curse in your life. But the enemy, he doesn't want that. He wants to make you think that you have some really difficult soil that you're planted in, and the enemy just wants you to plainly accept that. But God, he comes back, and he said, this isn't meant to destroy you. I didn't plant you here for you to die. The place I allowed you to go through is not meant to wipe you out so I can get a chuckle. I mean, there's others who are going through the same thing. Same divorces. The same pain in their lives. The same tragedies in their lives of losing a loved one. And it didn't wither up their tree. It actually made them blossom and become more fruitful. Fruitfulness in the long suffering that they've had to do, resulting in the fruits of the Spirit, peace, love, joy, long suffering, patience, kindness, and goodness. And it had to come up in the type of soil that they were planted in. And it was difficult. It wasn't easy. Maybe God doesn't need you to be with a lot of friends right now around you, because He knows what it's going to take to get that greatness out of you. I mean, we always want a happy, wonderful, blessed, just a beautiful, wonderful life. And we don't understand that there's usually more to the story behind that than just a beautiful tree we see blossoming or blooming somewhere. Somewhere that tree had a rough time. Because if the tree's going to be high, it had to start out low somewhere. And listen to this. It's been 3 years, and the owner says, you might as well cut it down and just throw it in the fire. It ain't happening with this tree. And this is what I came to tell you today. This is your year. And it's time to bloom where you're planted. It might have been 3 years, and some of you might have been saying, you know, I might as well quit. I just might as well throw it up. Throw up or throw it up and give it in and just throw in the towel. I've tried, and here I am, same place as last year, and I tried last year and the year before that, and the enemy, he just wants you to settle. Just accept it. That's your Christian way of carrying your cross. Just settle for it. But just when God comes along and says, that might be time to cut this tree down, throw it in the fire, somebody steps up called the dresser of the field. Let me give you a hint. His name is Jesus. Because I know it's Jesus, because He put Himself between an angry God and a puny little tree that wasn't doing anything. And He said, leave it alone. Did you catch those words? Leave it alone. In other words, Jesus is saying, if you have a vindication, if you have anger on this tree, and you have some type of problem with this tree, you don't have to talk to the tree anymore and just rip it out. He said, put it on me. He said, I'll take the tree's place. I'll even hang on a tree for it. I'll take this curse. I'll take what he deserves. I'll take what this wasted life of this puny little tree, and I'll take the consequences of that. And Jesus, in that moment, he became the middleman between the tree and our Almighty God. And notice what Jesus begged for. This year in 2022 is the year to ask God to be your fruitfulness. This is your year. This is our year to bloom. As a matter of fact, just turn to someone next to you and say, give it one more year. I know you feel like quitting. I mean, we've been through a rough time. You feel like it's just never going to change. And I know you feel sometimes like you're just never going to get free from that thing that's holding you down. And I know that you feel maybe it's if you're trying to get in shape, you just can't quite get there. Or maybe, you know, you feel like your marriage is going to get better and it just kind of sits there. But the Lord says the enemy is lying to his people, because he says this year is the year for a breakthrough. This year is the year to blossom. This year is the year of your fruitfulness. This year is the year of winning, meaning that you're the head and not the tail, and you're above and you're not beneath. We've come through a rough time, church. We really have. The past 2 years or so has just been rough. And if you still believe in soil like this where you're planted, even in the soil that you're planted in with the pandemic that we've hopefully are coming out of, with church attendance being down throughout the nation, if not the world, our church, we really don't have a children's program to speak of. We just have a few handful of youth that remains. Our finances are slim pickings. We have division in our society. We have increase in crime everywhere. You see it every night in the news. But even in soil like this, God says this can be your year to bloom. God says, because my people, he says, I love them and I know what I'm doing in the vineyard. He said, don't quit this year. He didn't say, give it one more year so we can keep doing the things that we've always done, though. We're not talking about give it one more year and cross your fingers and wish for something to happen. No. No, he said, when you do this, you're going to have two things that are going to happen to you if you give me a year. And notice what he said. You're going to have to, number one, let me dig around you. And number two, let me dung you. Let me throw some dung on you. And he says, I'm going to dig you. What does that mean? It means God's going to tear up the environment around you. If you've ever dug into hard soil, you know exactly what that means. You've become hardened. You've become conceited. You're not soft to my spirit anymore. You don't hear my promptings. And God says, I can't get any spiritual nutrients through down to your soil, to your soul, because you've become hardened in your soul. And so what God wants to do is he wants to tear up some things around you for this to be able to happen, to soften your ground. And a lot of us know what it means to have God dig deep in our lives, to tear up the environment that's around us, where we say, what in the world is going on? God, why is this happening to me? What did I do for you to have this happen to me? But one thing it does when he does tear things up around you is that it softens you. It softens you. It softens the soil around you. That which was once hardened is now soft because he's able to dig down. Because God knows what he intends for you and me to be. And that's an overcomer. But in order for that to happen, you have to dig deep. And God has put, and God has given everything that we need on this earth for us. He put all of it in the ground, in the soil. He put gold in the mountains. He gave us coal to dig out of the ground in order to keep us warm. But one thing he did do is he put it out of the reach of lazy people. And this year will have no change for us unless we're willing to dig deep. To dig deep. And I say, I will do what I can do and God will do what I can't do. But here we go. I'm not going to go through another year of just going through defeat. And I'm not going to go through another year of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. It's time for us to bloom where we're planted. And for that to happen, we've got to dig deep this year. To dig deep in this book right here. Many of you use your phone. I still like using the paper Bible because I can write in it. We have to dig deep in prayer. Begin to pray for one another. We have to dig deep into our church and get into it. Give them one more year, because when you were in it before, you were tore up every night anyway. But now God wants to tear you up in a different way. He's going to tear up everything that's hardened against him. He's going to break up that fallow ground. What he wants out of your life, because he wants that fruitfulness to blossom through you. I don't know how many of you remember, but there was a guy named George. Those of you that are into sports, baseball particularly, remember George Shotgun Shuba? I don't know if you've heard of him or not. But he played like seven seasons with the Dodgers, and he was the first pinch hitter to hit a home run in the World Series. Very first one. And when he knocked the home run in the World Series, one of the announcers that was calling the game said these words. He said, his swing is as natural as a smile. And after the game, everybody was using that quote. His swing is as natural as a smile. So, you know, some people asked him about it. And he said, is that what they called it? Is that what that guy on the announcing called it? That he said, it's just as natural as a smile? He said, no, that's not it at all. He said, every single day, I swing a bat that weighs 44 ounces. I swing that bat 600 times a day. That equals out to be about 4,200 times a week I swing that back. And what you think was just natural, you see, that's how we feel about people who are spiritual, and that's how we feel about people who are really fruitful in their walk with Christ. We think it's just natural. People that we think that are real spiritual, and they we just think it just looks so natural for them to do this. No, there's nothing natural about it. You pick up this book and you read it and you get on your knees and pray when you're going through some rough times and don't know what to do. Yes, I said get on your knees, because there's a humbleness in that. And when we pray, we get up out of bed and we go to church. And if you do that often enough, you'll be amazed how blessed you feel and how natural it seems, and how natural it is to have a faith that believes no matter what environment is around you, or no matter what you're going through or things happening to you. It seems like it's natural, but it's because we've dug deep. And then in our passage today, it says, lastly, he says, not only am I going to dig around you, but I'm going to fertilize you. I'm going to dung you. I'm going to throw some stuff on you. And if you still haven't figured out what that is, it's manure. Really nasty stuff. You see, God uses some horrible things to bring about miracle growth. And the one thing in our lives that seems so harmful, so poisonous, and so unpleasant that you just can't hardly stand it, that's the very thing that God can take and throw on a fruitless tree to make it come alive and to make it begin to bloom. Because without fertilizer, the tree dies. And fertilizer isn't pleasant. The things that we go through in our lives that stink, and there'll always be there that stink in every relationship. Sooner or later, your marriage will stink. Your family will stink. Your job will stink. Your finances may stink. Things that you go through, maybe your health will stink. But God says, I don't waste that. I use that stuff as fertilizer. And many times people will just give up. They give up instead of growing into what God wants them to be. The time that God's going to do the greatest thing in their life, they notice that their environment begins to be tore up around them because God's softening that soil, and then comes the poop splashing on their way. And so they want to just quit. They just want to stop. But that's the time that God's going to do the greatest things in their life. And when that happens to us, many people freak out about that. Many people leave churches. Many people leave families. Many people leave jobs. They leave relationship because God starts tearing everything around you, and then he starts throwing the mess on you. That's, matter of fact, that's how we got the popular phrase we hear many times, blank happens. And if you don't know what that blank is, just ask your neighbor. But when God starts tearing everything up around you and throwing this mess on you and me, it's not fun. No one likes to have poop thrown at them. It's nasty. It's disgusting. And it makes us angry a lot of times. I've never known anybody that had some that liked it. I know me and my friend I grew up with, we always go out in the pasture and have cow patty fights. And lo and behold, every now and then you'd get a semi-fresh one and it'd have some good splatter. But none of us liked it. None of us liked it. But it was something to do when you don't live out in the, you know, when you live out in the country. But when God starts tearing up things around you and throwing the mess on us, that we don't like it. And you can just mark it in your book of life that you have in your history with God and in things around you that God is going to dig you and he's going to dung you. And the bad thing is we can't do anything about it. It's going to happen. But here's your last option, and there's only one left. Remember, he said, I'm coming back at the end of the year, and if you haven't let me dig you, and if you haven't let me throw some dung on you, throw some mess on you, and when I do, don't let it turn you sour, because it actually makes you to where you can grow, where you can start to believe now that you've more than you've ever believed, and you can start to finally get it in your spirit what God's trying to do, and you can now start to understand things that you've heard before, things like, now that they're coming against me, I know that all is working together for those that love God, and now that I am more than a conqueror and I'm not a prisoner of discouragement. That's when your tree begins to blossom and you begin to start blooming where you're planted, no matter what type of soil God has placed you in. Matter of fact, how many people feel today that God's thrown a little dung on you? Be honest. Hold up your hand. Amen. Well, here's the good news. Here's the thing that we should be shouting. You're still here today. Hallelujah. Because the only thing left is to cut you down and burn you up. Aren't you glad you came this morning? Aren't you glad you're getting dug around and dung thrown on you instead of just being cut down and thrown away? And God's still not through with you. God hasn't given up on you or I. He's still giving us one more year. But what happens if this year was your last year? What if God told you, this is your last year to get real with me? I'm giving you one more year, that's it. What if he said, I'm giving you one more year to change things, to enjoy your life like it is, in the soil that I planted you in? And you know, as I looked back, there's a lot of people that didn't make it through the pandemic in the last 2 years. They didn't plan on dying. Nobody does. They didn't know it was their last year. But God says, if I come back and you're still discouraged and you're still defeated, then I'm going to let you have what you've been complaining about. And I'm up here this morning telling you that, and I'm preaching to myself as well as I do with all of my message. We cry out, dig me, Lord. Dig around me. Dung me, Lord. Throw something on me to help me grow. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, he says, I count all things. Not just one, all things to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord, for whom I have suffered loss, there it is, in all things again. And I count them as rubbish or dung so that I may gain Christ. And Paul said, count them. All of it's dung, all of it's rubbish. You know what Paul was saying? He's saying, everything that I have been through, I have lost. I've been beaten with rods. I've been snake bit. I've been left for dead. I've been stoned. I've been falsely imprisoned. I've been lied on. I've been run out of town. And I've been tortured. But he said, can I just tell you? He said, I count it all as dung. Is rubbish. He says, all it is fertilizer. God took everything, and he put it on me. And he said, I wrote half the New Testament. And I couldn't have done it in any other type of soil that I was planted in. I had to have this mess to bring the message. One person said they asked God for patience and they got opportunities instead. I asked God for strength, and I got burdens. I asked God for faith, and He gave me mountains. I asked God for peace, and I lost friends. I asked for healing, and I got scars. And many times the answer may feel opposite, but it's exactly what you need. The very things that we want to hide many times is what God wants to bring forth and to dig up. When Jesus walked into the temple, He said, "Stretch forth your hand." And the man with the withered hand, he could have stretched forth his hand that was manicured, clean, ready for church, perfect. But He had to reveal that weakness that He had, that ugly part of His life. And Jesus did something with that. David said in Psalms 83, verse 10, he says, that my enemies, he said, they have become dung. One translation reads, the very thing that is trying to destroy you, God will use as fertilizer. And so let me close with this. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus arrives at the tomb of Lazarus. And his sister comes out and says, "Lord, you're too late. You should have come 3 years ago." Actually, in this case, he said 3 days ago, but in our passage it says 3 years. 3 days ago, but now he's 4 days dead. And she makes this statement to Jesus, "By now, he stinks. He stinks. This is bad. This is dung." But you know, when I read that, I think in my mind, I can see Jesus where he's looking at her and he's smiling and he says in my mind, "But you just don't understand, girl. This is just fertilizer for the supernatural to happen. This kind of environment is just fertilizer for miracles. And I'm going to dig it. And I'm going to dung it. I'm going to take the most obnoxious things that life throws at my people. And if they'll just stay rooted, and if they'll just submit to the digging and the dunging process, and just give me one more year, don't quit, don't give up, don't throw in the towel, just give me one more year for God to bring fruit when the tree is withered and dead, and I'll turn the puny into mighty." And you know what who he said would do it is the dresser of the field, Jesus. And Jesus says, "I am the one. I will take their shame. I will take their curses. I will take their failures." And he says, "I'm going to take that mess of a life, those wasted years, those wasted relationships, those terrible decisions perhaps you made, and I'll turn that into fertilizer. And I will put it on the fruitless tree. And in 1 year's time, if you'll give God 1 year, if you'll give God 1 year to blossom." I read a story about a cowboy who used to operate a ranch in the Owyhee Desert. That's just south of Boise, Idaho. And he tells about, he went back to visit that old ranch, his old homestead there, and he pointed out to an old gnarled juniper tree out there in the middle of the pasture is the only tree in sight. And he said, I mean, this type of tree, you don't have to travel very far to see it, and it really wasn't much to look at this tree, but yet that tree was doing its job. The job of that juniper tree was to provide shade for just a cow or two. And he said, "When I saw that tree," he said, "I thought that this is the very best illustration I've ever seen of that principle you hear, bloom where you're planted." Just an old tree providing shade for a couple of cows. So don't be discouraged. Never give up. Bloom where you're planted. What you do has eternal significance in God's eyes. Whenever you take a seed and plant it in the ground, give it the correct conditions, it'll grow. Because that's God's amazing truth for everything that He has. And we're the same, and we are meant to grow where God plants us. And we have been given gifts and talents in our lives for God to use and to build His kingdom, to glorify His name. Being planted in a church where we value each other, just as a plant values the ground, it values the oxygen and the air and the sun and the water around it. And as a child of God, you have something to offer, something unique, something that is special. God has given you in your life, and you should be using that. Because if you take a grain of wheat and you put it in your pocket, it's going to look exactly the same 10 years from now. And so wherever we are, whatever tough stuff seems to come our way, we're meant to live, and we're meant to thrive, and we're meant to grow in the life of God. See, many times we want a quick fix when we come to church. Give us a word, give us some prayers, slap me on the head with some oil, whatever, and bam, you got it. Now go and do your thing and prosper. But that's not how it works in the kingdom of God. We've got to give God time and let Him give you some miracle grow in your life. And He'll take everything that you've been through, the years, the tears, the brokenness, the abuses that you've received, and the hurts that have been given to you, maybe some horrible decisions or failures or addictions or pain, and He'll use that as fertilizer if we'll just let Him break us up a little bit. Because once the breaking process begins, we can leave this place with faith, knowing that we're going to grow again and to come alive again. And before this year is over, you're going to have a turnaround in your life if you'll bloom or you're planted in Jesus' name. Please join me in prayer. Father, the newness of life that you bring about spring is so obvious. It's visible as we look around your world. Each year we know that you're going to bring the newness in all of life. And we ask that this year to include our simple lives in that process as you do this. As we watch the flowers and the trees bloom around us and the grass begin to grow, we ask that you might grow us also. And during that time when the earth is cool and stagnant, we often become less productive in our lives during the winter time. So, Father, we ask that you encourage us, not just during the springtime, but in each day to be more productive on your behalf, that we have a fresh start to evaluate where we are in our lives and where we'll need to be in our future with you, Father. So encourage us during this time of year, Father, not just to reevaluate where we are now, but to renew us to be your vessels, to pour your Spirit in, filled with your Spirit for vision and for earthly kingdom work, Father, for your church, for the people around us, for our communities. And when we consider it all things that we need to have done in our world around us, please allow us to participate in it, even if it's as simple as providing shade for someone who's been drenched and parched. Give us the energy and strength that we need to benefit our families, to benefit our community, and especially for our faith in you, Jesus. Help us to bloom where we're planted, and we ask this in your name, Jesus, and all the church says.